your table of contents, but you can't get it right away. But anyway, we want to go on chapter 5 of Galatians, and that's right before you get to Ephesians. Verse number 22, and it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." God, our Father, we thank you now for another opportunity to stand and preach your word. We ask now that you just allow your Holy Spirit to move freely now in this. Then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. 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 This morning, of the nine fruit of the spirits, the supreme fruit is love. And so with your prayers, I won't just deal with the first part, and I just want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We're just going to focus on love. Amen. And so let me begin by saying that the fruit of the Spirit is what produces the character traits that are found in the nature of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is the byproduct of Christ's control of our lives. But now the first product of the Spirit is love, which is much abused term in our world because of the fact that in most cases we all have somewhat different ideas about what love is. Now the most prevalent notion in the Western world in which we live is that love is a warm, topsy-turvy feeling, a thrill one gets in the pit of their stomach, tingling, running up and down their spines. We think of love as a warm sense of regard, a strong desire to be with, be satisfied by someone or something. Moreover, some have equated love with caring, benevolence, giving, nothing more than sheer emotionalism. And so on many occasions, we have used the term loosely and casually. For instance, some will express their love for a certain church, while others will say that they love a certain type of ice cream, certain type of pizza, style of a house, a color, an automobile, fashion. They love a performer, a certain team. In other words, people will say that they love an endless number of things. But what some call love, a theologian might call unbridled lust. Because these statements become ridiculous once we begin to understand what biblical love is. Because in the written Greek language, and the highest form of love is called agape love. This is a love that is expressed not because of, but in spite of. It is the God type of, the God kind of love. And my brothers and sisters, that's why this kind of love is supreme to the other types of love, such as brotherly love, family love, erotic or romantic love. Because all these types of love are expressed because of. In other words, I love my brother because he's my brother. I love my family because they're my family. Love my wife, my girlfriend, boyfriend, and the like, my friend, amen, because of our clothing. But God's kind of love, that agape love, is supreme because it loves without conditions. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 13 where Paul reveals love's supreme importance, we note that Paul directly compares love's value to faith, hope, prophecy, sacrifice, knowledge, and the gift of tongues, and indirectly with all the other gifts that were mentioned in chapter 12. But now, in no way does he denigrate the other usefulness to life and God's purpose, but none can compare in importance to love. However, the Corinthians took great pleasure in their gift, just as we would, but a gift's relative importance is shown in its temporary quality. Just as there are times when a gift is of no use. But love, I need to tell us, will never end. It will always be in use. And so Paul thus begins chapter number 13 of 1 Corinthians by contrasting love with the other gifts of God. And now he does just emphasize love's importance, completeness, permanence, and supremacy over other qualities we consider important to life and the God's purpose. Prophecies, for instance, they will end because prophecies will be fulfilled. The gift of tongues is less necessary today as there was in the beginning of the church because of the widespread use of English in commerce, politics, and academia. And the Bible has been translated in just about every language, meaning tongues' value depends on a specific need. Knowledge is increasing so rapidly that old knowledge, especially in the technical sense, become obsolete as new developments arise. Yet the need of love is never exhausted. It never becomes obsolete. And God wants us to use it on every occasion. And so with your prayers, I just want to dwell upon that passage, part of the passage in Galatians 5:22 that says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Because in claiming the Holy Spirit, we should make love the first object of our expectation. Because the Holy Spirit comes into our lives as a spirit of love. But now one of the great causes of why God cannot bless his church is because of the lack of love. Because the lack of love only brings about division. And when the body of Christ is divided, there can be no strength. Because strength is only found where there is unity. Meaning only when God's people stand as one body, one before God in fellowship of love, one toward one another in deep affection, one before the world in love that the world can see, then and only then will we have the power to secure the blessings that we ask of God. And that's why the one thing we must pray for still is that the Lord would melt us together into one by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as the Holy Spirit at Pentecost made them all of one heart and one soul, we ought to pray that he does his blessed work among us so that we can love each other with a divine love. And that's why each of us this morning, even some who may listen by way of radio, if we need to surrender our lives to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, and he will teach us to be able to love more. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Because first of all, God is love. And that's why the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8 that he who does not love does not know God. For God is love, meaning the very nature of God is love. But now, by saying God is love, John isn't saying that loving is one of God's activities, but that every activity of God is loving. If he creates in love. If he rules, he rules in love. If he judges in love. Because everything he does expresses his nature, and his nature is manifested by what he does. In other words, by love, God is revealed and known, because the very existence of life and others beside him is an act of love. My brothers and sisters, one of the greatest needs of mankind is love, and that was the thing which Christ's redemption came to accomplish. He came to restore love to the world, because when sin came into the world, selfishness triumphed, causing man to seek self instead of God. Sin brought about separation from God. Sin caused love for one another to cease. Remember, because of sin, the first two boys Adam and Eve had, one of them becomes a murderer when Cain killed his brother Abel. Here we see firsthand how sin robbed the world of love. But one of the worst things sin did for man was to make him selfish. For selfishness cannot love. And so the Lord Jesus came down from heaven as the Son of God love. In other words, God's only Son Jesus came into the world to show the world what love is. And he lived a life of love while here on earth. He lived a life of love and fellowship with his disciples, in compassion over the poor and miserable, and in love even to his enemies. And when he died the death of love, he went back to heaven. And brother honey, he sent down the spirit of love to come and banish selfishness, envy, and pride, and bring the love of God into the hearts of men. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Because notice John 13 and 34, before Christ promised the Holy Spirit in chapter 14, he gave the disciples a new commandment. And that new commandment, he said some wonderful things. But now the one thing he said was, even as I have loved you, so love ye one another. My brothers and sisters, to these disciples, Christ's dying love was to be the only law of their conduct and fellowship with one another. And so Jesus messaged to these fishermen that had become his followers, who were full of selfishness and pride, was to learn to love each other as Christ had loved them. And by the grace of God, they did just that. Because when Pentecost came, they were of one heart and one mind. And the Holy Spirit came as tongues of fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in foreign languages as the Spirit granted them to utter divine things. And now he called us to live and walk in love. He also demands that even if a person hates us, that we are to still love that person. Because true love cannot be conquered by anything in heaven or on earth. The more hatred there is, the more love triumphs through it all and shows its true nature. This is the love that Christ commanded his disciples to exercise. Note the purpose of his love. Jesus said, by this will all men know that ye are my disciples. If you have love one toward another. In essence, Christ is saying to his disciples, he said, I give you a badge. And that badge is love. That is to be your mark. It is the only thing in heaven on earth by which men can know me. And for the fruit of the Spirit is love. And love is the only thing that can conquer human selfishness. And my brothers and sisters, I need to say that self is a great curse. Whether in its relationship to God, to our fellow men and man in general,
To our fellow Christian brothers and sisters. Because just thinking of ourselves and seeking our own is a great curse. But you know, I thank God that Christ came to redeem us from self. But sad to say, many times we pray for power to work, power for blessings, but we have not prayed for power to be delivered from self. Now that means not only the righteous self in fellowship with God, but the unloving self in fellowship with men. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you know, for a great many of us, many times, a lot of folks try to force themselves to love. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, because it's better than nothing. But in the end results, it always come out wrong. Why? Because somebody say, even though I try hard to love, I fail continually. And I must confess to the Lord, I just can't do it by myself. And the reason is simply because many have learned to believe, and it's haven't learned to believe and accept the truth that the Holy Spirit can pour God's love into our hearts. For the Bible says that in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Here we see that all three members of the Trinity are involved in salvation. The Father loved us so much that he sent his Son to bridge the gap between us. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Then the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to fill our lives with love and enable us to live by his power. No wonder Acts says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Bottom line, it is the love of God to me that leads back to him in love. And then it overflows to my fellow man in love. Point is, God's love to me and my love to God and my love to my fellow man, they are all three are one, and they cannot be separated. And so Paul says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and therefore I cannot learn to love until the Spirit of God fills my heart with God's love. And I began to long for God's love in a very different sense from which I sought it at first. Because when I first sought it, I sought it selfishly as a comfort, a joy, a happiness, and a pleasure to myself. I will not learn it until I realize that God is love, and to claim and receive it is an indwelling power of self-sacrifice. Bottom line, love is God's gift to us. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit, he brought from heaven out of the crucified Christ, it is what gives and pours love into our hearts. And love is supreme. No, John 4:12 said, no man has ever seen God. And if we love one another, then God dwells in us. But then John goes on to say, in 1 John 4:20-21, he says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet habitually hate your brother or sister, he says, you are a liar. For whoever does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he never seen. This is a command that we get from God, that whoever loves God loves his brother also. Meaning that the love of God is in your heart, and you will love your brother and sister. And for the fruit of the Spirit is love. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that our love for one another is what actually shows God's power to the world and God's power in our lives. And so if we want to pray in power and we want to expect the Holy Spirit to come down in power, if we indeed want God to pour out His Spirit, we must enter into a covenant with God that we will love one another with a heavenly love. Note the Bible says again in 1 John 3 and 14, He said, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brother. Now, he who does not love his brother abides in death, because becoming a Christian is a spiritual resurrection from death to life, and it's turning from hate to love. Meaning lack of love indicates that one is spiritually dead and has no experience, has not experienced the new birth, or they haven't really been born again. And so if my vow of absolute surrender to God was sincere, then it must mean absolute surrender to divine love to fill me. Meaning I must be a servant of love to every child of God that's around me. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, Christian work requires love, because our love for God and our brothers and sisters is what brings unity in the fellowship and enables us to work together. Love is the only power in which Christians can really do their work. Meaning not only do we want a love that binds us to one another, but we also want a divine love in our work for the lost that are around us. My brothers and sisters, before we can do the work of the church, before we can go out and evangelize, we have to have a love in our hearts for those who are lost. And you know, my brother, there's something wrong when you say that you are saved and you become satisfied and you never tell anybody about how to, yes, Lord, come to the Lord. You just sit back. You never share your experience with anybody. Something is wrong with that. You pass by them and you look down on them and you think it makes you better than them. Something is wrong with that, because you ought to love a person enough to not want to see them end up in hell. Just like God had patience with you, just like God loved you before you were lovable, you ought to love one another, and you ought to love everybody. And I'm so glad that I know the Lord loved me. And I'm so glad that because He loved me, I'm able to love other people. And I want somebody to know about this love that God has shed abroad in my heart. You know, love without action is dead. How can you tell me you love me, but you see me hungry and you won't feed me? You see me naked and you won't clothe me? How can you tell me you love me? You see me on my way to hell, but you never try to witness to me and tell me there's another alternative. Something is wrong with that. Yeah, I'm reminded about James, who said faith without works is dead. But in the same way, love without action is also dead. Are y'all here with me? It's not enough to just love with our lips. Yes, we got to love. Yes, indeed. I'm so glad that the Lord didn't just love us with lip service. For the Bible, just imagine if John 3:16 would say, for God so loved the world, and the period comes there, right? And it never says anything else. How in the world would I know that God really loved me? Because there is no action. But I'm so glad that it didn't cut off right there, right? But it said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. I'm so glad that God didn't wait around till I got myself together to show his love. But he demonstrated his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love. Because out on Calvary's Hill, Jesus died for the ungodly. He didn't die, yes, for the godly, yes, but he died for the ungodly. As he hung bread and died, he showed us what sacrificial love is all about. Even looking out on his enemies, he didn't curse them out, but he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Hey, God, all right. He hung there on that cross. Now, it wasn't the nails that held him there. It wasn't the spikes that held him there. But it was love that held him on the cross. Hey, God, all right. Love. Love is the greatest. Yes, Lord. It was love that lifted me. One day I was sinking deep in sin. I was very deep, stained within. From the water, he lifted me. Now save, I said, save my. It was love that lifted me. Do you know the Lord this morning? Having love invaded your heart. Are you able to love everybody? Are you able to love your brothers and sisters? Now this love is not a feeling. This love is an action. Yes, Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit.
In love.
All right.
My brothers and sisters.
All right.
If you've been born again.
All right.
And God is love.
Yeah.
And God is in your heart.
Yeah.
And you've been born again, that means you got a new nature.
Yeah.
A sheep don't have to work hard to be humble. Because it's just humble anyway, that's in his nature. And in the same way, a wolf don't have to work hard to go eat up a sheep because it's in his nature. And in the same way, if you've been born again, you don't have to work too hard to love because it's in your nature. All you got to do is yield and yes, Lord, yourself unto the Spirit of God. Surrender your life to the Lord. And you'll find out that that love will begin to move from heart to heart.
Yeah.
It'll bring about unity instead of division. This might not be no shouting. I didn't come to shout today. I just come to say something. Amen.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Have you ever been in a situation and you were really going through? Your back was against the wall and you didn't know what to do. It seemed like everybody had their opinion, whoa, whoa, about where God wanted you to be. So I cried out to the Lord, I need you to speak to me.
Just find a hiding place,
yeah. Yes, I blessing. You're watching everybody else be blessed. Yeah. And they're running on with that vision. But it seems like you're in the same old place. Cause you're in the valley of decision. It seems like everybody is